This evening, we're going to turn to Romans 5, one verse, verse 1. And we're going to consider what Jesus gives us. You see, we have in Jesus peace with God, that we might also enjoy the peace of God. So please hear God's word, and let us pray first. Father, how thankful we are that nothing has deterred you from your goal to pour your goodness and grace upon humanity in the person and work of your Son, Jesus. That today we may live by your Spirit, O Father, and know the greatness of your gift of grace and the peace that only is brought in the death and resurrection of our Savior. So, Father, would you help us to receive, and in receiving, to enjoy the gifts of the sacrificial death of another. Father, our hearts should be heavy over sin, but joyful over your grace. And so give us a sense of both this evening, as we hear your word, of the cost and the gift that is bound up in the life and death of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. One verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you saw this morning in the paper, in the obituaries, an obituary that ran this way: Jesus of Nazareth, a rabbi and teacher, known for his travels, died on Good Friday at Golgotha near Jerusalem. Born in Bethlehem to Mary and presumably to Joseph, under strange conditions. However, he often referenced the Father in heaven. He was a devoted leader and friend to countless who followed him. His commitments to the things of God were evident from a young age, as he was often teaching and reasoning with the elders in the temple. Jesus never met a stranger, loved fishing, camping, cooking out on the beach. It goes on and on. It was an advertisement for a church in town for a Good Friday service tomorrow. But there is there something that's kind of clever, isn't it? Kind of clever in the sense that in celebrating a death, Christians are calling people to a life. And it's interesting, in our world, in our day, in our community, folks are seeking peace. They long for peace, and yet the soul of many is restless. Even here tonight, it's possible that some of our souls are restless. We long for something more. But at the heart of this event that we celebrate in this, what is called Holy Week in the church, from Jesus riding in on a colt as a king to being betrayed by Judas this evening, going to a cross on what we call Good Friday, how can a death be good, to the resurrection on Sunday morning, we celebrate something that takes us from death to life, that we might have peace with God. And it's only when you have the peace with God that you're able to experience the peace in daily life of God. You see, it's assurance that chases away anxieties in our life. It's God's assurance in God's gift that chases away anxieties in our life. And when we fail to focus upon what God has given, then our hearts too can become turbulent. We can struggle with daily life, and we can struggle with what's going on in the world around us, and we can struggle ourselves with what we need to do before God or what our life looks like before God. And if we're not experiencing God's peace, oftentimes we seek things to try to fill those gaps, don't we? If we don't understand our peace with God, that we may that we may experience the peace of God in daily life, then we go to pretending and performing, don't we? Pretending. You know, it's easy in relationship to God when we feel distant or separated from God to kind of build a ledger. We can go to excuse making, can't we? We can make excuses. Well, I did this thing, but it's really not the real me. I know that what has happened in my life doesn't serve the Lord or serve others or even serve my good, but it's not really me. We try to back away from those things. Or maybe it's not excuse making, maybe it's comparison. You know, we've done something that grips our soul and puts a barrier between us and God. And instead of running to God, the one who has made peace for us, we begin to run away, and we run away by comparison. Well, at least I'm not David. David didn't know he was going to be on the spot. But, you know, I'm comparing myself to David. Right? I mean, did you see what David did yesterday? Can I tell him, David? David's not sure, right? I'm kidding, David. I'm kidding. You know, it's easy to compare ourselves to others and at least in our mind, to magnify something in ourselves that we compare to another. But it's all a shamble, isn't it? Pretending never brings peace with God. Performing never brings peace with God. It's not what you build for yourself that makes you okay with your Lord. Not your career, not your family, not your personal relationships, not those advancements in your hopes and dreams. No, it's not our pretense or our performance that helps us. It's what another has done in our place. And that's why we love to celebrate this evening, isn't it? Because Jesus not only knew what was coming in this Passover meal that is celebrated as the Lord's Supper, He embraced what was coming. That we might have peace with God. Therefore, we are justified by faith that we may have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would love for you to think just for a moment what it means to have peace with God, that we may experience the peace of God. And the text really settles in one sense upon that word of what is experienced in peace. But the foundation of peace, the foundation of our peace is in what Jesus has done for us, right? In biblical terms, theologians call it the great exchange. What Paul has been celebrating in the book of Romans to this moment is two things. There's a condition that separates man, woman, and child from God. Sin. And we've all got that condition. There's a condition that separates man, woman, and child from God, and we're caught there. No one is righteous. No, not one. But then He comes and He reminds us of the one who is perfect, the one who has done for us what we can't do for ourselves. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we're told in Romans 3:23. But then immediately, God turns to the just and the justifier. He turns to the work of Jesus, who has become for us a sacrifice of atonement. In the Greek, a propitiation, a bearer of our sins. And so in one sense, when we talk about justification, I know it's not a word we use every day, but when we talk about this great exchange, what we're acknowledging, what Paul is acknowledging here, is that in Jesus, by faith, there is something different about us. And what is different is that our sin no longer belongs to us. It belongs to Jesus. And because our sin no longer belongs to us, but it belongs to Jesus, His gift of grace and righteousness becomes ours. Now that is profound. It is profound that the God of all the universe, the Maker of all things, steps into His creation, bears the sin and imperfection of His people, and says, these are no longer yours. Your sin belongs to me. And my grace and righteousness belongs to you. Now can you understand a little bit of what God's doing? He is showing us the foundation of peace is not found in us, but it's found in His Son. Let me say that again, because I find that we often miss this point. I mean, there are times when we grasp for moments of peace, for well-being, for shalom, for ease, for comfort from things that torment us. But the basis of our peace is not found in us. It's found in God. It's found in Jesus. Because He has, with legal demand and verdict, declared that that which separates us doesn't belong to us anymore. It belongs to Him. Our sins belong to Jesus, and His grace and giftings belong to us. You know, that's why we make such a big deal about this great exchange here at Westminster, right? Because one thing I know about me is I'm not good enough. And one thing I know about you, as much as I like you, and some of you are better than me, I will grant it to you, is that you are not enough. But why do we love this great exchange? Because constantly we want you to know that Jesus Himself is enough. So when we come to the Lord's table tonight, we're not celebrating me. We're not celebrating you. We're celebrating Jesus, aren't we? And when Jesus came to His disciples this evening on this Thursday evening, when they were celebrating a supper together, when He comes and He washes their feet, when He and Peter have this terse discourse about whether He can wash Peter's feet or not, and whether Peter will receive it, and as He straightens Peter out, He also straightens us out. We're folks of need. And the Savior must serve us. The Savior must lead us. And the Savior must send us. And this is what He promises. He promises there, that evening, with His disciples, that though He goes to a death and through a resurrection to the Father, that He leaves His peace. John 14:27-29. My peace I leave to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. This is a peace that changes everything. Because He promises something that's not just subjective in and out of our experience, but objective for all of life, that we may have peace with God. So you see, the foundation for peace is all in what Jesus has done for you. All of what Jesus has taken for you in taking sin, and all of what He's given to you in grace, goodness, and righteousness. But notice the text focuses therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. And here's this sense. It's not just that we have the foundation of peace here, but we have the fruit of that peace in our lives. You see, every time I struggle with peace, I need to run back to what Jesus has done. And every time you struggle for peace, you need to run back first to what Jesus has done. You know, how many of y'all want to experience the peace of God daily? How many ever feel like there are anxieties that chase away the peace of God that you experience? That's what I figured. I mean, we know that we need this sense of well-being with God and in God's world. But when that flees from you, when the peace of God flees away because of the anxieties of life, where do you run? And Paul wants you to see that the fruit of justification is that we run back to Jesus again. We run to Him again and again because we celebrate the peace with God that is His accomplishment. We are able to have the peace of God that makes anxiety flee away. And so there's assurance here. Notice here it says, justified by faith that we may have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that establishes peace that's not in us. It's established in what Jesus has done. And there's a real sense. I think oftentimes when we think of the book of Romans, we see here this transition between what God has done for us and declaring us right with Him, and then running us on into chapters 5 and 6 with with what we are called to do in Christ. And there's much there. We are called to serve and walk in the one who has given us life. But really, and I agree with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones here, these verses, beginning here in verse 1, really are the fruits of God's justifying word. So that peace is a fruit. Experience of peace is a fruit of what Jesus has done, because we run there and drink there and live there again and again. There's an assurance here that chases away the anxieties of life. You see, here we're told to have peace with God. Over in Philippians, we're told that the peace of God will guard us, that it will chase away the anxieties of life. But it's because Paul knows that peace with Christ informs the peace of Christ. There in Philippians 4:7, we're told, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And here's what I want to propose for you tonight. That if you lack a sense of steady and sturdy peace in your life, don't run to anything else but the Jesus who's laid down His life for you. You need assurance of what He's done, and that will chase away the anxieties that control our lives. You see, peace with God, assurance, informs how we live so that we're not consumed by anxiety. Today I was reading one of our missionary families. I was reading a letter from Cody and Katie Janicek. Did y'all get that from the church? They had sent out an email. And they've been in Prague for 2 years. They were here as Aggies for a number of years through RUF. They kind of grew up in faith and understanding in RUF, and now they're working with university students in Prague. And one of the things I really enjoyed about it is because I think Cody's a good writer. He's worth reading. He's thoughtful in his approach to it. But he was writing about this experience that he has with a young guy named Yuri. Not sure I'm saying it right, but you're not Czechoslovakian, so you're probably not going to correct me anyway. But he and Yuri have become friends, and he and his girlfriend and Cody and Katie, they've even double dated some. They go out, they have them to their house, they're enjoying each other. And Cody says it takes a long time for someone in Eastern Europe to learn to trust you. The average time is 7 years for someone to get a glimpse of real relationship with you, and most importantly with the Savior. They're 2 years into this relationship. And Cody tutors a lot of people, a lot of kids. And one day he was sitting with Cody and he found out that Cody wasn't tutoring to pay the bills. He was just doing it because he wanted to get to know people and love people. And all of a sudden, something broke and opened up in this guy. And Cody began to understand. Because there's this truth, I guess, in the Czech Republic. It takes a long time to make a friendship, but once you have a friend there, they're a friend for life. They're committed. And he's committed to Yuri, and Yuri is committed to him. And Yuri's hearing about what it means to have peace with God. And my hope is that Yuri will come to understand the peace of God in that journey as well. But you know what's true here tonight at this table? If you have a friend in Jesus, you have a friend for life. Life abundance. Life eternal. Life forever. Peace with God is what ensures that we can experience peace in daily life. You see, there's a reality where God's peace is objective for our experience, that we may enjoy Him. And so as I call you to the table this evening, I call you to remember what Jesus has done. But not only what He's done, why He has done it. That we as a people might turn from sin, might turn to Jesus, and by faith, live in the one who assures our peace and even chases away the anxieties, that the peace with God may assure the peace of God in our lives.